Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Good to have you with us. It is 4:07 on this Thursday afternoon. Beautiful day in Kansas City. A couple of coronavirus sort of related topics. And these are sports related, by the way. Brown center J.C. Treader is cautiously optimistic the NFL season, at least some version of it, will take place in 2020. He's not certain when it will start. The newly elected president of the NFL Players Association, the NFLPA, Treader said Tuesday that the COVID-19 virus outbreak has hatched so many unknowns and created such a fluid situation, it is impossible to predict when football will be back or what it would look like. I don't know if you saw over the weekend, Dana. I know you're not a soccer fan. I am. The Bundesliga, Germany's team or league, did start play over the weekend, and they played to an empty stadium. NASCAR, of course, started last weekend, and I believe there's a golf event this weekend with Tiger
Golf's
Woods,
back.
Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and who's the other one? Is it Mickelson?
It is Phil.
Yep.
Phil Mickelson, okay. And they're playing in a sort of pro-am, if you can call it that, this weekend. So sports is slowly starting to come back. Now the question becomes, what about football, where all these guys are touching each other? Don't.
It's not even football, Scott. In the Wall Street Journal today, I'm about to drop a Scott Parks.
She has the actual paper.
Did you go and buy the Wall Street Journal? I am so proud of you.
It's physical.
Make sure you read the editorial page. Might change your mind about a few things.
Huge article. Here it is. Basketball has never been so risky. It says James Naismith, inset left, invented basketball game that could be played indoors, but the basics of the sport have never looked risky. Players are face to face, and there is physical contact every single play.
Mm-hmm. Well, they were talking about bringing the season back, and sports is kind of a weird thing as we go through this. They were talking about maybe moving the entire league. I heard a story this morning on the morning news about moving the entire league down to Orlando. And, you know, the teams, they would just play all day. I may have missed something in the story here, but they would play all day. And then they would play the next day like they would, you know, if let's say, Philadelphia traveled to New York. You know, they would play two or three games in a row. And now they're talking about maybe just setting up the entire league in Orlando, and they would just play there. Now, I don't know how you would do that with 30 teams or whatever is in the NBA, but
But listen to this. This says, how to create a healthy indoor environment for basketball isn't just an issue for NBA teams who are currently evaluating their HVAC system, Scott. This is a question that has to be answered for every pickup game in every gym around the world.
So what do we do? Play outside?
I don't know. With basketball, it's the sweating and the huffing and the puffing and the guarding. You know, right, this even says right down to the referee blowing the whistle is going to blow droplets on the court. How do you play basketball with no whistle?
How do you play football? I mean, you want to talk about the ultimate, other than maybe rugby, the ultimate contact sport is going to be football. So do we not, I mean, even Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the University of Michigan, said in an interview yesterday, he's okay with opening up the stadium, which, by the way, seats 100,000 people. You think Arrowhead is big? You haven't seen the University of Michigan. He's open to the idea of playing football in front of an empty stadium.
Okay, wait. I've got to ask a question. I know you're going to think this is dumb, but I need you to tell me why it wouldn't work. You know how some football players go out there with, like, the eye shield to, like, cut down on the glare?
Mm-hmm.
Why, they've already got a helmet. With football, why couldn't they create, like, the eye shield but make it lower over the mouth?
Well, the spray is still going to go underneath.
Underneath the mask.
Especially
well,
for linemen.
It would cut down on the transmission if they were able to put something right there in front of your mouth area.
Now you could throw out the idea, well, why not have them wear, like, N95 masks? And there are different N95 masks. There are the green ones that you see the nurses and doctors wear, which are very restrictive. You've seen them take them off and maybe seen some pictures on Facebook where there are literally cuts in their face. These things are so tight. There are other N95 masks, of which I have a couple. Sam, I think I gave you one the other day.
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome. That are not as restrictive, not as protective, but not as restrictive. But I can't imagine playing a football game, running 97 yards from, you know, let's say we're back in our end zone, and I take the handoff and I'm gone for 97 yards. I get to the other end. There better be some oxygen down there.
Yeah.
Because, I got an idea.
All right, what's your idea?
Bear with me. So 6 foot social distancing, right? Let's take them back to flag football and give them all 3 foot long flags.
Okay, you're in timeout. You're in timeout for dumb idea.
Okay.
Could they wear masks on the basketball court or no?
No.
I think it would, from a respiratory standpoint, with all of the running, and there is so much running in basketball, I think it would be very hard to keep up that level of stamina with a mask covering your mouth and nose.
What I think will be interesting to see is, you know, the Bundesliga opened up this weekend. And let's give it 2 or 3 weeks. And maybe we use them as sort of the guinea pig, if you will, of professional sports. Soccer players.
Like the citizens of Vegas?
Maybe. But I know soccer kind of gets kind of a poo-poo reputation. And, you know, it's not a real sport, whatever. These players come into constant contact with each other. And so maybe we kind of use the Bundesliga as our guinea pig and we see what happens. Do players get coronavirus? They're playing in front of an empty stadium. They're allowing 5 substitutions, not 3. So the players are not on the field the whole time.
I think it's simpler than this, Scott. Why can't Rydell make a Martian type looking helmet where it would be self-contained? Do you know what I mean? Like, football players already wear helmets.
Right.
It would be so easy within the framework of that helmet to somehow create some kind of protective.
Well, they've got to breathe, Dana.
Well, I know, but that's what I'm saying. It would have to be self-contained, and maybe you pipe oxygen in there or something. I don't know.
What?
They're already wearing helmets.
How are you going to pipe oxygen into the helmet?
I don't know. Like an astronaut.
Okay.
Okay. I'm serious.
We just completely turned the corner.
I mean, they couldn't be glass, obviously.
See, my flag football idea is...
No, you know,
doesn't sound
I'm
so stupid anymore.
Right?
There has got to be a way to put a self-contained fishbowl over someone's head that for the purpose of sport would stop the droplets.
Okay, I'm about to put both of you in timeout.
Okay, well, I'm going to patent that because I just made $1 billion.
Okay, 576-7798.
I'm going to call the astronaut's helmet.
How do we get sports back on the field? Because the NFL Players Association is saying, Jim Harbaugh of the University of Michigan is saying, let's go, let's play. We'll play in front of an empty stadium. I don't care. How do you get sports on the field? Do they just become guinea pigs too, like the Bundesliga? 576-7798.
Take your apology. Three. Well, I spent two. Time
in the mud. What did you find?
NFL studying helmet face guard works like a surgical for coronavirus prevention. With an eye toward getting on the field, NFL is working face guard.
Hey.
Atlanta Falcons.
We can't hear
president
you.
President.
Dana, that moment moment when you were trying to prove a point and you sounded like
No!
Oh, yeah.
They took my astronaut idea!
Can they look into getting you better internet connection?
Mm.
We need that.
Yeah. That moment you had a point and you sounded like Max Headroom. Oh, darn.
No.
To the phones.
Look.
Sam, go ahead.
Look.
Whoa, what did she just say?
Look.
Oh.
Travis in Kansas City.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Travis.
Hey,
glad to have you, man.
Hey, yeah. Thank you. So going off what Daniel was saying, the research that the NFL is doing, I heard this morning on Fox Sports Radio on a national broadcast that the NFL is working with Oakley brand, like Oakley sunglasses, and they are trying to come up with something to wear, like the visor they have, like Dana had mentioned earlier. They have a visor. Now they're trying to get something underneath the chin to where they'd still be able to breathe, but you wouldn't have, I mean, it would be, your face would be secluded to where you could still breathe, but that you wouldn't be able to let, you know, snot or spit or, you know, droplets. Yeah. So you wouldn't have it. There would be no way for droplets to be taken out. So Oakley's doing this research and they've got together with the NFL and the Players Association. And they're trying to figure out the best thing they can do to be able to make sure that they get NFL on the field, because last thing this world needs is no NFL football.
Amen to that, brother. Football. Amen to that.
So, well, thanks guys for taking my call. Thanks. God bless you guys for doing what you do and keeping everybody in Kansas City entertained.
Thanks, man.
And I appreciate everything.
Hey, God bless you for calling. Thank you very much. And Dana says,
she says random robotic sounds.
No.
We have you back now. You're now back.
Well, what they're trying to figure out is how it won't fog up. Because we definitely could not have it foggy. The players would be running the wrong way and into each other. And the biggest problem is, how do you create something like that with no fog?
Would that not add to the entertainment?
I was just going to say, that would be pretty funny.
I mean...
He's at the 40, the 30.
He's back to the 30. 40. He's back to the 40.
NFL Extreme.
Wait, he's now back at the 50.
He's going the wrong way.
Sam to the next one.
Mike in Grandview.
Hey, Mike. Good afternoon, buddy. Welcome.
Yeah, I think Danny's got a good idea. And she actually needs to look at, they have painting, for like painting cars and stuff like that. They have a full face mask, okay? And the other thing, too, is as far as the fogging part, they have, what do you call those, construction helmets with fans on the top of them.
Okay.
To cool it. So if you have it to where you have the both, you know, like you take the underneath your chin, have that where it's all screened, and then you have it to where it's actually what they call like a positive or a negative draw. Why not? You could do it. I think you got a great idea, Dana.
Thank you.
What's your name again?
My name is Mike from Grandview.
Hey, Mike from Grandview. Don't ever call this show again.
Too late.
Hey, be safe, brother. Be well, okay?
Okay, bye.
All right, take care. 5-7, maybe I'm the idiot here. 576-7798. News is next. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III on KNBC.
I can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind.
We're moving it's on, but I got to give credit where credit is due to 3393. Danny, we were talking about the players' face shields like fogging over.
My astronaut helmet.
They go the wrong way, and somebody wrote in, "Oh my God, it's never happened before! A 137-yard touchdown!"
What's really funny is Larry Johnson ran like that anyway, but he was really good at it. He just ran back and forth until he found the hole.
Did you just Dana-ism yourself?
No.
Okay. This just in, Dana Wright, who is coming back this weekend. The Transportation Security Administration announced they are preparing to start taking passengers' temperatures as a way to move forward and help increase safety and prevent COVID-19 infected passengers from boarding airplanes. While this sounds good in theory, writes Sheldon Jacobson from the New York Daily News, it will do nothing to make air travel safer for passengers. What did you go through? I know you went on a quick trip down to Phoenix or Scottsdale or wherever the hell you are. What did you experience when you got on the plane? Anything? Anything different?
Everyone was wearing masks.
Everyone was wearing masks.
Yes.
What about those who didn't have a mask?
They provided one.
Okay, so they had masks to give you.
Yes, but the problem with this temperature thing is, what are you going to gate when they take your temperature and it's 99.9? Are you just out a plane ticket?
No, you have to be 100.4 before they'll tell you that you can't get on the plane.
It would be a nightmare, Scott. Fans would be separated.
Yeah. You're out of a ticket.
You're out of a ticket.
You're going to find a hotel room real quick until your temperature comes down. Or you end up in the hospital with COVID, but whatever.
So then they're just shoving it from the airlines having this problem to the hotels having this problem.
Well, but yeah.
There's no way. There's no, logistically, it would be a nightmare to make that happen properly.
Story here. Let me read this one. Sam printed this one off. This is from the Kansas City Star, I think. No, Problem Solver, so it's from 41, I guess. Cross the bridge into Stonecroft Mobile, I guess that's a mobile home park, and you'll see the underbelly of Kansas City. More than 24 people call it home, but it's overflowing with trash, crime, and squatters. Says Eva Renault, who lived there for 11 years until her trailer burned down a few weeks ago. Last year, it started getting bad, bad, bad. Now she returns only to feed her cats, who are not allowed where she is temporarily living. She said she's glad she's gone from Stonecroft. We have stolen cars, we have drugs, we have it all. Alan Ashurst, a Kansas City codes inspector in charge of illegal dumping, said the mobile home park is costing taxpayers tens of thousands of dollars to fight fires and to fight crime. Says Ashurst, as far as drains on city resources, this is probably right up there in the top five. Sorry, Fox 4. This week, before Fox 4 interviewed Ashurst, there were two fires at Stonecroft. It cost taxpayers a minimum of $6,000 to respond to each fire. Last year, the fire department made 100 visits to the mobile home park.
Wow.
Although not all were for fires. By the way, I need not tell you, Stonecroft is owned by Bovita Group, which is based in Sacramento, California, 2,000 miles away.
Well, what do you do with it?
What can you do with it? How do you combat a problem in a troubling neighborhood?
Because we've seen this before with nuisance properties. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of this happening with a nuisance neighborhood.
Yeah. So what do you do?
I don't think there's anything you can do.
You find the owners?
Of the land?
Well, of the mobile home park. But what are they going to do? I mean,
the owners are going to say, we've done anything wrong. We're just trying to run a neighbor.
It's not our fault. The people there are doing drugs, and allegedly.
What's with the fires? Like, is it arson, or are they setting fire?
Maybe they're setting fires just to stay warm. I have no idea, Dana. I have no idea. But I've always wondered over the years when we've talked about, and there have been plenty of stories over the last 20 years in the Kansas City Star and on the TV programs about, you know, homeowners, check that, landlords who, you know, live in California but own the house in Kansas City and don't take care of it, and the people who live there are problems. I mean, what are you going to do? They're going to be a problem whether you kick them out or not.
Correct. You're just moving it from one location.
Yeah, you're just
to
moving. Yeah, you're right. You're just moving the problem from one neighborhood to the next rental house. You as somebody who's been
one of the biggest.
Go ahead.
One of the biggest nuisance properties in the history of Kansas City was the Rat Lady. Remember, she had rats mm-hmm. and rodents and holes in the house. Mm-hmm. And for years, they tried to get her out of that house. And they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it, and they couldn't do it. Do you know how they finally are putting her away? It has nothing to do with property violations.
How?
It was tax evasion. They had to get her on something else, like Gregory Breeden, in order to take care of that problem.
I mean, kicking somebody out of a house is not the easiest thing in the world. For those of you who have never had to do it. But I'm telling you right now, you kick her out. Let's use the Rat Lady as an example. Okay? She clearly has mental problems. Okay? You kick her out of that house because the house is infested with rats. It's a hoarded house. Whatever. Okay?
She feeds them.
Yeah. You kick her out. She goes and leaves, say, you know, central Kansas City, Missouri, and goes gets a property in Independence or, you know, even Overland Park or someplace. I don't know. Kicking her out of that house does not cure what we really know to be the problem, and that is mental health. So do we institutionalize her? Oh, wait, we can't do that anymore. Do we monitor her a little bit more closely?
No, that neighborhood fought that for years, Scott. Uh-huh. I mean, I want to say 25 years or more.
That's right.
She finally went down, and if it wasn't tax evasion, it was like Social Security fraud.
It was something that had nothing to do with hoarding and rat infestation.
It had nothing to do with rat infestation, and they tried and tried and tried to get her out of that house.
Yep.
Do you know how hard it is to legally remove someone from the property they own?
Borderline impossible. I mean, you can find them.
Make me pay.
Yeah, make me pay. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when I don't pay? Oh, you're going to kick me out? Okay. I'll see you in court for the next couple years. And we all know that one person on the block, well, not all of us, but a lot of you know that one person on the block, you're like, man, you're killing me, Smalls. You know, there are a couple of people on my block. I'm like, God, can you literally go to Home Depot and get a little bit of weed killer? Like one bottle just for the front yard? You know, I mean, I got a couple people around the neighborhood who drive me crazy.
The problem with this location, though, Scott, is they also have a homeless problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that on this program a number of times. I don't know what the answer is, because you kick the squatters out of that location, they will find another location. Mm.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. 576-7798. What do you do with that problem neighbor? I mean, there's only so much you can do, right? You can't just throw them out on the street. They're just going to go to somebody else's neighborhood, right? Somebody says, what about a meth lab in my neighborhood? Telephone number here is 576-7798. You guys weigh in on the other side. 576-7798. She's Dana Wright. That's Sam Stevie III. Don't forget, you can listen to the radio program even outside of your car or outside of your radio with radio.com. And we podcast every single hour of this program at KMBZ.com. Dana and Parks here on KMBZ. Sam, we'll take one on this and then we'll move on to something else. Somebody writes in, I work across from Stonecroft. It is not a neighborhood. It is a dump site. Apparently there's a bridge into this trailer park, and the bridge is in such disrepair that the fire trucks will not even cross over it.
And they've had 100 calls a year?
Yeah. And they've had several fires. And the fire department says, we cannot cross over the bridge. It is in such disrepair. Sam, let's take one call, and then I want to bring something else up of interest. Go ahead.
Josh in Kansas City.
Josh, what up, man?
Hi, Josh.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
It's going well, good. Thanks.
So I work for a large package delivery company, and that's our area, Stonecroft. And, Scott, I actually we're friends on Facebook. I just sent you a couple videos on Messenger. I'm not sure if you're able to get that.
Okay, I'll look at it during the news. Yes, I will.
That neighborhood is like The Walking Dead. It's there's over 189 sites for mobile homes, and there's probably only four, quote-unquote, livable trailers in there. And it's so bad in some of those parts that there's raw sewage coming down the road. It's just absolutely disgusting in there.
So is it mostly homeless people, or are there people who call that home?
There are people, because we do make deliveries to a couple of the places in there. You know, cat food. I delivered business cards the other day. I felt that kind of funny, but...
God.
Oh, man.
But there are some of the I've been doing this a long time, so there's not a lot that can scare me, but I brought new people in there and they're like, yeah, can we get out now?
So there's a bridge that goes into Stonecroft, is that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, and this bridge, you would describe the quality of this bridge as what?
Fire trucks can't get through there. There's times that I'm nervous, going across it in our package vans. We have to deliver the package, so I put my seatbelt on and gas it and hope for the best, you know.
Oh my God!
Now, what does the bridge cross? A creek or something?
Yeah, it's just a little creek.
And you, when you distrust this bridge so much that when you have to cross it, you put your seatbelt on and just gas it and hope that if the bridge collapses, you've got enough momentum to get to the other side, which, of course, you'll never be able to get back over?
Well, I can jump over a creek. But
not with your truck.
I mean, yeah, it's not like a Dukes of Hazzard move, but it is a little nerve-wracking getting across there.
Are you nervous when you go in there?
Oh, my goodness.
Well, I've delivered in some of the worst parts of town, so I'm particularly not nervous. I don't really like to make contact with anybody in there. I just drop the box and go. And, when people start walking to me, I start driving away from them. So.
That's not a ringing endorsement.
Well, what they need, Scott, is the city, first of all, the bridge is structural. The city needs to come in and take care of that. And I wonder if there's a way, if there's nothing left but three or four structures, if there's a way to go in and do a cleanup and try.
And do what? I mean, move these people where?
I don't know.
Give them to Independence?
No, I don't know.
I mean, it's with all respect, and I've never heard of this Stonecroft or whatever it's called until I read the story today and saw it on Fox News, but it sounds like Loserville, like meth haven, allegedly. I'm not saying that anybody there is on meth. It just sounds like where people go before they end up downtown in a homeless shelter. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, Scott.
By the way, I saw a great, not great, sorry. I saw a story this morning on Good Morning America. And if you want to talk about this on the other side, I'd be happy to do it. It was talking about drinking alcohol, of course, during the pandemic. And with so many people working from home, they said that alcohol consumption is up 35% prior to the pandemic, okay? But here was the stat that really stuck out to me. 32% of Americans who have been forced to work from home now say they drink during working hours.
Oh, no.
Yes, yes. And I remember I was like, because I was at Kelly's house and we were working out and I came upstairs to get some water or something. And I just looked over and she had Good Morning America on. And I looked over the statistics and I made sure to take like a mental picture. So drinking is up 35%.
Okay.
Since the pandemic started. But 32% of Americans who have been forced to work from home now say that they are drinking during their working hours at home.
Regularly or like once on a Friday at 4 o'clock?
Dana, they didn't get into the weeds like that. I don't know. I just thought, man, that's an interesting topic. That is a very interesting topic.
It's because you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You're
the
not
boss
open
doesn't
a
know.
Fifth of, yeah, you're not going to open a fifth of whiskey in your cubicle.
Yeah, you're probably not dropping a double bottle of wine at home, you know, before 5 o'clock. But I wonder how many people are like, man, it's 4 o'clock.
What about a fifth of whiskey in the studio?
Well, who's going to know?
Based on the way you've been pushing the buttons lately, I've noticed.
Okay. You mean I've been pushing the buttons perfectly.
That's terrible.
I'm kidding.
That is a terrible thing to say to him on his very bad, terrible day.
I'm goofing on him because I love. I joke because I love. So I'd be curious. Maybe we'll tackle this on the other side. Have you been a little... because the boss can't see you anymore? Doesn't know that maybe you're... hitting the sauce.
But is hitting the sauce one glass of wine?
You tell me.
No.
Depends on how much wine you normally drink.
Yeah.
One is not a problem.
Well, a glass of wine can be a glass of wine, or it can be a glass of wine.
Also very true.
Generous pour?
They do make glasses of wine that hold full bottles.
Mm-hmm. No, that's true. They do.
The problem. Now it's here. I feel like it's 6 o'clock. It's not.
No, it's 5 o'clock out here, but what is it there? 4 or 3?
It's 3.
It's free?
3.
All right. Telephone number here is 576-7798. Are you drinking more since this pandemic started? Those of you who still drink? Are you drinking? When the boss doesn't know you're drinking, if you know what I mean. We're not doing voice changers, so you got to be honest. And if you're not comfortable with it, just text it in. At 22980, I will not give out your 4 digits. I promise. We will not read out the last 4 digits if you text in and say, yeah, I've been hitting the sauce. So what? Leave me alone. I will not read out your 4 digits. I promise. News is next here on Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.